It is the Drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Kyle, Brett Bielema and company are doing some work via the transfer portal. That's one thing that I have been a little critical of them. There's been some angst this offseason. You don't have a big swing or big hit transfer class coming in after losing Keith Randolph, Johnny Newton, Isaiah Williams, Tip Ryman. But they're making some noise now, and even having some guys hit the portal that you didn't want to, Zach Toby being one of those, AJ Dennis being one of those. But they get a big cornerback from Texas earlier this week. I don't know why his name hasn't stuck in my head yet.
Terrence Brooks.
Terrence Brooks. And now an addition at a position of need as well on the defensive line, Gentle Hunt, Florida A&M defensive lineman, has committed to the Illinois following his official visit at Illinois this past weekend. Talk about another one that you would hope Illinois, who they hosted, that they would be able to land here shortly. We'll get into that here in a second. But I wanted to get your thoughts on Gentle Hunt, a all-SWAC second-teamer last season, 32 tackles, 11 tackles for loss, 5.5 sacks, one year of eligibility remaining, spent three seasons at FAMU. They could use some help on the interior line because, as I just mentioned, you lost some big pieces off that front four this past offseason, guys that got drafted in the NFL. Well, Keith undrafted, but playing for my Chicago Bears now, but guys that went to the next level.
Yeah, you needed some help on defense. We talked about a week or two ago about some holes on this defense coming off of last year where it already wasn't a very good defense in general. You lose probably your three best players off that defense, especially the defensive front with Newton and Randolph and Denzel Daxon being huge losses there. And now you've gone out and not only filled probably your two biggest immediate needs, but with two guys that have proven they can produce at the FBS level. Obviously, Terrence Brooks at Texas for a college football playoff team, a little different than Florida A&M, but it's a big pickup. They had a defensive lineman from Youngstown State. I believe his name was Anthony Johnson,
yep.
And he left shortly after spring. And that was another one where he kind of re-entered the portal, but it's alluding to, you know, guys like Toby and Dennis. That's a guy that they brought in to be a starter on the defensive line. He leaves after spring, and it left a hole there. You were relying on some developmental guys that really haven't played at all to probably play heavy snaps for you. Now you get some more depth there with a guy like Gentle Hunt. I think just with those two moves, you feel a whole lot better about where this defense is right now. I'm not saying it's going to be a dominant 2022 Illinois defense, but you feel better than you did a couple weeks ago with these two, and it's nice to see finally, even though it's taken a while, this coaching staff has gone out and aggressively attacked the portal for not only depth guys, but also guys that can make an immediate impact and are maybe more of your splashier names that get you excited.
Yeah, absolutely. I know they have added a couple of others on the front via the portal. Dennis Briggs Jr. came from Florida State. You have Anise Sledge. I believe that's how you say it. He's a nose tackle who's competing for some starting time there as well. But yeah, Anthony Johnson was kind of a head-scratching loss where he, like you said, essentially re-entered the transfer portal and then committed to Mississippi State after only having him for a few months. So being able to go out there and get somebody that I know it's a lower level, it's FCS, but to have someone that's been an all-conference player at that level is certainly intriguing, just at the bare minimum for some depth for sure. And I know that Big Def weighed in here, said, "I'm excited to see the pass rushing numbers and potential of Gentle Hunt." He then joke and said, "Even more excited to see Aaron Henry somehow decide to drop him into hook curl coverage out of nose tackle on third downs." Yeah, we'll see. I mean, Aaron Henry obviously has some questions, a number of them to be answered, and it will be tougher to answer those questions without the likes of Keith Randolph, without the likes of Johnny Newton. But to be able to go out there and get this guy and also Terrence Brooks just adds more pieces of the puzzle, adds more to work with. We know Gabe Backus is still in the mix as somebody that can help you. And we're hoping that why is his name escaping me now? Matthew Bailey being healthy can be someone that can really help you as well on that back end. And I don't know. I think that there are reasons to be excited about Luke Altmyer and what the offense can potentially put together this year.
Might be able to get him a weapon. There was a
pretty that's the transition I was looking for.
That just wrapped up an official visit earlier this week. And
Zachary Franklin.
Illini fans remember him quite fondly. Well, not fondly. They remember him.
They're familiar with him for sure. Yeah, I'd have to pull up his stat line in that UTSA game when Barry Lenny Jr.
I'd be shocked if he didn't have over 130 yards and a couple touchdowns.
Yeah.
I mean, my goodness.
UTSA came to town.
Best player on the field in that game.
And beat Illinois. How close was that game? Was that a close game, or did they?
I want to say it was like 37-30.
Okay.
It's kind of a high-scoring game. Illinois couldn't get a stop. Zachary Franklin was open on a 10-yard slant every play.
Yeah, the slant. The slant game was on point in that one. And that was a talented UTSA team, for sure, that went on beyond that game and had a couple of good seasons. But let's see. I'm trying to pull up this stat line here. It was 10 catches, 155 yards, and a touchdown in their opener against Illinois September 4th, and that was a 37-30, like you said, win for the Roadrunners. And then after
– I do feel like you're going to talk more about Franklin. I was just going to say I do feel like wide receiver has been overlooked as a need for this roster still.
I agree with that. I mean, losing – Williams and Casey Washington, kind of a big deal.
Yeah. And I mean, I think Pat Bryant can be good, and I like the young talent they've recruited from the high school ranks the last couple classes. Has been exciting with a guy like Malik Elzey and some of these other pieces, but you don't have a lot of proven guys there beyond Bryant. And getting a guy like Franklin, I think, would be a huge add if this offense is really to be the strength of this team this year, which now obviously you've added a couple pieces defensively, but I think the outlook has mainly been that Illinois is going to try to be a more offensively oriented team this year. At least on paper, that's the stronger unit. I think receiver's been kind of overlooked, and getting an impact guy that can come in right away and be counted on to be one of the featured options for Altmyer, I think is a need that they still would love to fill, and Franklin would be absolutely perfect, and he's quite familiar with the system, being with Barry Lunny a couple years ago.
Yeah, I mean, why not try to – you obviously got to try, but I think that when you think about putting Luke Altmyer in the best position to be successful, you got to give him some weapons. You got to give him some things to work with, and, I mean, you're going to play a tougher schedule this upcoming year. Even though I like Malik Elzey and his upside, and like you said, some of these other – pieces that they've recruited, I think it'd be really, really important to just upgrade the overall talent level in that room and just the proven experience factor. I mean, this is a guy that had 2 1,000-yard seasons at UTSA, 2021 and 2022. Beyond just the yardage, I mean, 2021, 12 touchdowns, 2022, 15 touchdowns. He then ended up transferring to Ole Miss, played in 4 games, only 4 receptions, 38 yards and a touchdown. I know he was banged up last year. He was banged up in camp and missed a couple of the first 3 games and then ultimately didn't play. I mean, he played essentially a third of the schedule. I admittedly don't know the full story on what the injury was, how much that played into effect versus him versus his internal competition on that Rebels team, but we know his talent. We know his production. Like you said, very familiar with Barry Lunny and that system. So that would be a monster addition. Because even though, like I said, I like Illinois' offensive potential because I think Luke can take another step forward and they've got some things to work with in terms of the running game and whatnot.
Really excited about what Caden Fagan can be this year.
Yeah, 100%. I'd feel even more so and would – elevate that at another level if there was a proven receiver in addition to Bryant, who's done some things, but on the whole hasn't been
super
productive.
Is he ready to be a number one wide receiver in the Big Ten?
Yeah.
I think he has that potential this year for sure, but you'd love to complement him with another proven weapon.
Yeah, I'd rather be saying this is a guy that's put up stats like a number one versus a guy has potential to be a number one.
Yes.
I mean,
and you just don't want to have to rely so much on the unknown of, yeah, I want to see Malik Elzey on the field this year, but he had some drop issues as a freshman last year. You just don't know. He hasn't proven a whole lot yet. guy like Ashton Hollins has had some big catches here and there, but really it's been sporadically and limited snaps for him. And Hank Beatty, a guy who's been on the field a little bit but still doesn't have a lot of proven production. Like, beyond Bryant, you're filling the rest of your wide receiver snaps with unknowns, and it'd be nice to add another proven stud in that room, a guy that already at Memorial Stadium has put up 150 yards before.
Yeah, that's a big deal. And not for nothing, Pat Bryant last year, 560 yards, 7 touchdowns. So very decent stat line for sure, but certainly, again, more proven commodities in that room and someone that has proven to be a number one wide receiver for sure. I know Marcus texted in on the U of I Atlanta League text line, says, it's been all quiet since the Franklin visit. Is there trouble getting him in because of academics? Heard he had classes to take. Honestly, I don't know.
How long was that visit? Because I know, I think it started like, I think he arrived Sunday night and the visit was to take place the last couple days. So I don't think it's been over for long.
That's fair. Yeah, 48-hour window usually. So Sunday night through Tuesday night. And we're sitting here on a Wednesday that, yeah, I wouldn't say there's been too much time then that has passed if that has lined up as such. So we'll see. We'll see. Again, like, I need to get Jeremy Warner on to talk about the recent additions here and also Zachary Franklin. So maybe we can get that done later this week to get you some real insight into what's going on there. But Franklin would be such a huge addition. I don't know who else is. I don't know if you've seen it, Kyle. Anybody else that's kind of in contention for him, but it seems to have been, yeah, like Marcus said, fairly quiet. I haven't seen a whole lot, but maybe not a lot of time has elapsed since that visit would have ended. Big Def on the U of I Atlanta League text line. LZ would go up and get it. Franklin and Bryant would do it all, mix in the slot, and let's see Loughery catch it out of the backfield. Yeah, those are some weapons for sure. I certainly like what that could look like. So there's your news on the Illini football front. Did want to mention another piece of news regarding Illini basketball. Merez Johnson announced today to be part of the Team USA under 18 team. That gives Illinois another nice feather in its cap when it comes to USA basketball experience going into their first year at Illinois. Iodesumu had that. Ty Rogers had that. Merez, of course. I have to go back and look. I don't know if Adam Miller played. I know Adam Miller didn't pan out ultimately at Illinois, but he was on the Team USA team too coming up. I don't know if he played in an event prior to his freshman year at Illinois. I can't think back to that. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't, but still that's a guy that was on those teams. And it's a good sign, and not that we necessarily need it because Illinois is coming off an Elite Eight. They've had a string of years now where they've had really good production and achievement in the Big Ten and national rankings and whatnot. But I think they go hand in hand when you're recruiting and landing some of the best players out there. I mean, those guys getting invited on those teams are doing so for a reason. And I think that even for a guy like Ty, maybe not the flashiest player, but they saw enough in him to want to, or you got a lot of maybe alpha scorers, guys that will do plenty in terms of making shots, that Ty was someone they wanted on their team to kind of be that glue guy and be able to make plays within it. Merez, even though he kind of, you could argue that he got snubbed potentially for McDonald's All-American and never broke through that five-star threshold where he was really on the fringe, that border, ever since he exploded. I think it was that last year of AAU at Peach Jam. He was if not the best big man there. I think he was just flat out the best big man in that event, and then had a great senior season, but wasn't able to creep into top 25, five-star McDonald's All-American status. So to get on the USA team right before going to Illinois, that's great for him, great experience for him, and then obviously great exposure for Illinois. They've stacked that thing up pretty nicely, Kyle, here in the last few years.
Merez is a stud, man. I'm excited. I'm excited to see him. It's one of those guys, and Illinois had exciting prospects here the last couple years, but man, we talked about it plenty, just how much Illinois has been transfer portal heavy. It feels like forever that there's been a prospect like Merez Johnson coming straight out of high school as a freshman that you're dying to watch and that you expect to play a huge role. Feels like last couple of years, every freshman has been, well, is he even going to play this year? How many minutes? Is he going to be the ninth guy in the rotation? Merez Johnson's going to play next year, and he's one of those guys, the Io Desunmu types, Adam Miller at the time, Curbelo, that – if he sticks around Illinois for a couple seasons, I think he'll be a no doubt all conference performer. I just can't wait. Guy is, you could just watching him play, you already fall in love with just the way he plays. And it feels like his first game against Eastern Illinois, whoever they play on opening night, he's going to go get four offensive rebounds and you're going to be like, yeah, that's my guy already. He's awesome.
People are going to fall in love, even though they already have. It's easy. Sometimes, like an Imani Hansberry, I think that maybe Atlanta fans had to learn a little bit more about him, because I always said that he was someone that people would instantly love. But for Merez to be within the state, a lot of people have seen him play. Obviously, his highlights are well documented out there on Twitter and whatnot. But in case those that haven't seen him, or just we're all waiting to see him in that college setting, in that Illinois uniform, he's been committed for, what, two and a half years at this point? So... to finally have that come to fruition. And
it is funny. You kind of forget that. He's been committed for so long. He was a sophomore when he committed.
Yeah.
It was before his sophomore year even started.
Yeah.
Wow. That's rare, man, to get that type of loyalty. And I'm sure he had plenty of people trying to flip him during that time. It's rare. It's rare to have that early of a commitment that actually ends up in Champaign ends up anywhere.
It's been a long time coming for sure. Obviously, the story is well known. Tim Anderson having the connection to Mean Streets and a well-established relationship there that they worked hard with. And Merez always liked the idea of staying close to home, playing for the home state. And to Illinois' credit as a program, they continued to be a very appealing destination. Like, Merez got to see Kofi's career at Illinois and see a big man who played the five for the Illini be a back-to-back All-American and all the success that him and Io had together. And then post Io and Kofi, then you bring in Terrence Shannon Jr. And we're talking about a product from Chicago who was on the national stage and is hopefully, and for his case, is able to hear his name called for the NBA draft and has a long career ahead of him as well. Obviously, always the disclaimer is if the legal system, legal process plays itself out in his favor. But those are things that I think, even if teams like a Kansas, which you always know that those squads have a lot of appeal and ability to swing things and don't get told no a lot. I know that in recruiting there is that, even for the big fish get told no. But to your point, if someone wanted to poach him, I think that in a different era, a different time for Illinois basketball, would have been a lot easier to pull off versus the spot that Illinois is in now. They were able to, I'm sure, make it never even a question for Merez Johnson, and excited to see what he can do for sure. I do think that whether it's, the offensive rebounds, just the hard-nosed, gritty defense that he's going to play, the way he's going to run the floor, he's just a very tenacious and athletic player. That's another thing. He can wow you with that, his athleticism, and I know that someone texted in earlier. I'd have to dig back to find it. But he's flashed some skill here recently, some turnaround jumpers, some face-up stuff that he didn't have earlier in his high school career. Now he can really be able to build on that and see if it can translate to the next level.
Do you think he'll have a consistent jump shot at any point in his college career?
I wouldn't put it past him.
That seems like the one thing that if he could – and I'm not saying he needs to be Coleman Hawkins level at three-point shooter as a big – but if he can stretch the floor even a little bit, make guys come guard him out on the perimeter a little bit, we're talking about a potential conference player of the year candidate at some point in his career.
Yeah, no doubt. I think just with the way his progression, how much he's progressed offensively in like a 2-year span, 1.5-year span, it tells me that the growth potential is there for him to go from somebody that was pretty limited in terms of the moves that he could make to now – where he can go left hand, right hand, spin off, face up, drive you, step out, shoot a face up jumper, a three. And like those are things that he's come a long way, and I wouldn't put it past him to be able to, with the hard work that he has and just the way that his game has progressed, that the arrow is still ticking up on his development. And oh, by the way, it doesn't hurt that him coming in correlates with Orlando Antigua being here as well, one of the best big man developers out there too. So
yeah, that pairing for both Avisic and Mraz is going to be fun to watch play out.
Yep. One last point on Mraz playing for Team USA. They'll be in the U18 America Cup, which is in Argentina here coming up next month. That's June 3rd through June 9th. So I'm sure the Illini staff will make it a point, as they usually do for FIBA events, to go over and check out not only Mraz, but whether there's some more international targets just to get familiar with, but just to see Team USA and see all that is in action over there. You'll have a lot of different, it looks like Puerto Rico, you have Canada, you get Dominican Republic, Brazil. So those are just among the teams that are involved in that event, and great that Mraz got that selection. We're going to catch another break. How about coming up next, Kyle and I will look at some of the, just kind of refresh you or frame it in terms of what some Big Ten teams have done this offseason via the portal and roster building, in case you missed anything or in case you need to be reminded of what's out there, and maybe just a way too early, as a lot of people say with their top 25s, a way too early snapshot of what Big Ten basketball is looking like this upcoming
season. At least it's May 15th now. The way too early top 25 is on March 10th. Yeah. It's like, what are we doing here?
Right.
None of these players are going to be on the rosters. There's going to be four new starters from the starting five. You projected 13th. At least we're midway through May. Most rosters are 90%+ full at this point. I can live with it now.
That's very true. And we'll let Bart Torvik be our guide as well, although Torvik doesn't love the Illini. Send all your hate tweets to him and his analytics, because it's not actually a guy making opinions.
Bart hates Illinois. Bart is a Purdue fan.
Put that out there. All right, we'll be back.
I think he's actually a Wisconsin fan in real life. I've seen him on Twitter talking Wisconsin before. I could be wrong.
I wonder he's so sour on Illinois. They've beaten him like 7 times in a row.
Ooh, conspiracy time.
Yeah, I think so. All right, stick around for that. We'll be back. This is The Drive.
Coming Saturday, June 22nd, it's the Cardinal Bus Trip, brought to you by Route 66 Solar. Yes, join us for a beautiful day in St. Louis as we take on the San Francisco Giants. For information about our suite and all the beverages and food that are included, and a wonderful motor coach from Timmy Tours, simply text in BUS to 217-359-2255. Join us Saturday, June 22nd for the annual Cardinal Bus Trip from ESPN 93.5. Dixie Chopper, and he's available out there?
Absolutely. I'm going to throw you out a couple of specials that we're having right now. One is a Rhino 15-foot rotary flex wing with a Dixie Chopper Classic 35-horse 60-inch mower. It's industrial. $35,000 for the pair.
Both of them?
Yep, both of them together. $35,000.
I take it that's an outstanding deal, because I'm not...
Saving $13,000.
Oh, okay. Wow.
So, you're in the mowing business. It's time for an upgrade.
It's time to go big time. You'll get all the yards done really quickly with those.
And then if you're looking for just a residential mower on its own, we've got a Z2 48-inch that we've got out there right now for $59.99. That is $2,000 off.
What is the location?
That is 1306 Triumph Drive in Urbana, right down from Farman Fleet on 45.
Yep.
Or check out Dedicated Diesel on Facebook.
Champaign County Fair is looking for queen contestants for the July 14th pageant in Kessler Hall. Young women between the ages of 16 and 21 who live in Champaign County and Little Miss contestants from 6 to 10 years old can hear details about the competition on May 21st. Learn more about what it takes to represent Champaign County by clicking on the application link at champaigncountyfair.cc. The Champaign County Fair welcomes Josh Turner, July 26th.
Tired of trying to keep up with Old Man Jones and his perfect lawn? Spring Green knows that we can't all spend hours a day creating that perfect shade of green, killing off all that crabgrass, and making sure every insect in the neighborhood doesn't call your lawn home this year. At Spring Green, they take the hassle out of your lawn headache with services such as lawn fertilization, weed control, grub and insect control, lime treatments, and even bush and tree care. Let the experts at Spring Green help you this season. For more information, visit them at spring-green.com. Spring Green, America's neighborhood lawn care team.
I'm Justin Eich, co-owner of Fred's Plumbing, Heating, Air Conditioning, Electric, and Underground.
So, Justin, tell me what you see as typical when it comes to sewer repair. Give me a scenario.
Your sewer's backed up and somebody comes along and says, you need this repair for X amount of dollars. Here's my price. And you don't think to go looking for another company or a second opinion because you don't feel like you have time.
So is it possible that you might get charged a little more because it's kind of a desperate moment? Do some companies do that?
Oh, absolutely they will. They know you're in a pinch. Typically, if you call us, me or Will can be out there within an hour to look at that problem for you. Whether you call me first or you call me second, make sure you give me a call.
Anything else, Justin?
You can always trust Fred's.
Great to know. Thank you. That's Justin Eich, the co-owner of Fred's Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Electric, and Underground. If you want more information about this great 45-year family-owned company, just go to fredscu.com. That's fredscu.com.
The average American throws away almost 5 pounds of trash per day, half which ends up in a landfill. At Two Men and a Junk Truck, when we pick up your unwanted furniture, appliances, trash, and office equipment, we make it a priority to divert those items from your local landfill. Two Men and a Junk Truck, looking for partners that share our vision of environmental responsibility. If you and your organization can reuse, upcycle, recycle some of these items, we would love to work with you. Contact us at twomenandajunktruck.com. We want to make room for what matters most.
At ABC Heating and Air, it's our promise to help you always be comfortable. Do you need rescued because you're burning hot? Do you need rescued because your air is shot? Call ABC Heating and Air at 352-5400 and let us rescue you from the heat. ABC Heating and Air, 352-5400. Can't you see you need to call me at ABC? Call ABC Heating and Air. That's ABC Heating and Air, 352-5400.
Local, personal, trusted. Hi, this is Atta Durakan with First Federal Savings Bank of Champaign-Urbana, and we've been serving Champaign County since 1908. Our institution is safe, strong, and stable. We operate on a foundation of responsible and sound practices, and you can rest easy knowing we're your bank. Rated 5-star superior by Bauer Financial, Inc. Fast, friendly, and local. With local loan decisions and underwriting, if you're not already banking with us, give us a try, and we think you'll love it here. First Federal Savings Bank, 356bank.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS. 435-120.
Mom, she won't stop touching me. Breakfast stinks.
Guys, no phones at the table.
Family dinner time? Not easy. But you know what is easy? OSF On-Call Urgent Care. When you need convenient, affordable care for minor illnesses and injuries, you need OSF On-Call Urgent Care. Be seen in person or connect 24/7 online when and where you need it. Learn more at osfoncall.org/urgentcare.
Get the roof your home deserves by Roof Doctors, your residential roofing specialist that has always offered the best warranties in the industry, like our non-prorated 50-year warranty. Our customers love that we are family-owned and locally operated. We make our customer needs our top priority. With over 30 years experience and the best customer service, give Roof Doctors a call today for your free estimate at 328-7529. In your community and for your community, Roof Doctors.
Back on the drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. It's May 15th, so I think it might be safe to start talking about Big Ten basketball landscapes, roster projections, just where we sit right now after what's been an eventful and still will be an eventful offseason on the college basketball landscape. Let's take a quick look, or I wouldn't say quick, but we will have to be a little quick in terms of getting through what is now, 18 teams, Kyle, in the Big Ten?
18 teams.
Jeez.
It's I just can't get used to it yet. I wonder, I know you guys talked about, like, when will we get used to playing those teams. When will you get used to seeing UCLA and think, oh, yeah, Big Ten team? I can't get myself to that. I can't wrap my head around the fact that, oh, man, who's going to be at the top of the Big Ten this year? UCLA has done some good stuff in the portal. Wait, what?
Yeah, no, I'm not there either because it went way over my head where the Maui field was announced for 2025, and then somebody quote tweeted or responded and said, two Big Ten teams, USC and Oregon. And I was like, oh, wow. Because my first glance at it, I was like, there's no Big Ten team in there. And that never happens.
Yeah.
But no,
there's usually not two of the same conference either. So I don't know. I guess there's not enough conferences anymore.
With the SEC and the Big Ten and all over the country consolidating and making these mega leagues, you're going to have to be willing to maybe face some familiar faces in those MTEs. All right. So there's been some love for Indiana. Obviously, people still like Purdue, some more than others. We're going to get into that. Where's Illinois in this list? I've pulled up Bart Torvik, which it's analytically based. I think I'll just warn you now, you're not going to like where Illinois is at. Number two, they're not going to have any data on like Tomas Lavavicic coming in from overseas. And I think
a guy like Kerry Booth's analytics probably not very good after his freshman season.
True.
But he's obviously going to improve.
We'll get into where Illinois is at and what's fair for them. But let's start at the top and kind of what some of these teams have done so far in the portal and with the recruiting and what we can expect. This one will be easy because they haven't done much of anything, Purdue, other than bring in six freshmen, which is just insane to me and quite the plant the flag in the ground where the portal's exploding. And no, we're going to take six freshmen instead when we have spots to fill in a post-Zach Edey window. I call it bold, if not misguided, by Matt Painter. Of course, we'll see. The results will have to play themselves out. But I think there could be egg on Matt Painter's face for not going in the other direction. But as of right now, he did just take his team to the national title game. But still brings back Braden Smith, Fletcher Lawyer, Trey Kaufman-Wren. They lost Edey. They lost
Lance Jones, Mason Gillis,
Ethan Morton. That wasn't much of a loss.
That was probably a gain more than a loss. I mean, what was he doing out there?
Nothing.
Running around.
Yeah. Cannon Catchings is the big addition, the shining addition from their class. He's a top 40 prospect, played overtime elite this past year. 6'8", good shooter. So he's talented for sure. And look, Matt Painter's a great coach. And I prayed. I said, can we please not have the same conversations we were having about Izzo, about Purdue? I know a lot of people out there hate Purdue, though. So, Kyle, what do you think? Number 10 overall right now, according to Torvik, the top projected team in the Big Ten. Too high? What do you think of what they've done or not done?
Well, they've done nothing. I mean, they've recruited freshmen. Matt Painter does not want to conform to the transfer portal era when I think the opportunity was right there for him to go say, I want the best center that enters the portal this cycle, and I'm going to get him as long as we have the NIL, which I'd imagine Edey was making quite a bit last year. I know he had the international complications, but I still think Edey did well for himself.
Somebody told me, and this was unconfirmed, but someone in the postseason told me that Edey was making like at least – they said that Edey's like making $2 million.
Yeah. So
Osibor can get $2 million, please tell me that Zach Edey can get $2 million.
Yep. So I just don't really understand why people are acting like, well, Purdue brings everybody back except a couple guys and they'll be great. Well, the couple guys they lost, one of them was Zach Edey, who averaged 24 and 12 and was the two-time National Player of the Year at 7'4". and they threw the ball to him on 88% of their possessions. That's who they lost. It's not just up there bringing 75% of their roster back and adding a big freshman class. No, they're losing one of the best players college basketball has seen, or most productive players, I should say, that college basketball has seen in the last decade plus. So I think it was a mistake to not go. I'm not saying you had to go do the Illinois and go say, let's have five of our guys transfer and let's bring in a whole new starting five in the post-ED era. But the center spot was one where I think you had maybe the best sell in all of college basketball, assuming the NIL was there for you. And it would, like, talk about bringing in an Omar Ballo type or another center from the portal. I'm trying to think of some of the centers that have committed during this cycle. But go bring in a big-time portal center to then supplement all the guys you bring back into Braden Smith. And all of a sudden, yeah, I can get behind. Okay, you replaced Edie in the portal. You're bringing back your guards. This is still going to be a top 10 team. But doing absolutely nothing, not signing a single transfer, I don't think it is a super hot take, although some people would say it is. I don't think Purdue is going to win the conference again. I don't think Purdue should be a preseason top 10 team as of now. And of course, we'll see how some of these returning guys and freshmen pan out. But I just can't get over the fact, too, that Purdue fans are like so proud that they didn't do anything. They're like, well, Matt Painter doesn't want to do all that portal garbage. He's doing it the old-fashioned way with his freshman class. He's doing it the right way. I'm so glad that Paint's our leader and doesn't do any of that portal garbage. Come on, man. Really? That's how you feel? Really? Fletcher Lawyer is going to be the second best player on the team, and we're good with that? Ah.
I guess it's easy to feel that way coming off of a national title appearance. Sure. But I'm sure there are people out there in that fan base that are questioning it or wondering about it.
I haven't seen them. I've seen everyone so proud of it.
On Twitter, maybe they are. I mean, I guess, again, their recent history has been very rich and the best in the Big Ten. I know that people will challenge, well, you know, Underwood's actually won the most games in the Big Ten, which he has. It's close, but I think obviously there's a different tier of going to the national title game. So I think they give a slight edge to them, but I think it is, and I don't want to spend too much time on it because we have, again, 18 teams or as many as we're going to try to get through today. But Cliff Amore, a familiar face, would have been a great
call.
Ad,
that's
right?
The one I didn't think of. Yep.
That would have been an easy sell within the Big Ten. And, like, that's a sell. That's a spot that would be so coveted. You'd get guys that aren't – we can look at the list of guys that are in the portal. Guys that aren't in the portal would want to go in the portal to go be Zach Edey's replacement.
Oh, my goodness. Right? Any center. Matt Painter calls you and says, replace Edie, where you have maybe the best post-centric offense in all of college basketball – two-time National Player of the Year. I mean, their centers weren't too shabby before Zach Edey got there. Exactly. Travion Williams and Isaac Haas and Hammonds and some of these other guys. I don't know. Any center in college basketball would be dying to play for Purdue right now, and they are going to roll with Trey Kaufman-Wren. So I just don't understand that approach.
Crazy. We'll see, though. I think – admittedly, for myself, I want to know more about some of these other teams before I say for certain Purdue's not going to win the Big Ten, because I think Braden Smith's really good. Fletcher Lawyer's decent. He's a decent player, but
I think he's not – he's going to – his numbers weren't great with Edie. What is he going to do without some of the shots he got from Edie? I don't know.
That's fair.
I just don't see him as like a shot creator that can do a whole lot for himself.
Yep, that's fair. UCLA is the projected second-place team in the Big Ten – by Bart Torvik. They're 11th nationally, while Purdue is 10th in these way too early projections. UCLA was not good last year. They were not a tournament team, very disappointing. They did bring back three returners who averaged double figures last year, and Dylan Andrews, Sebastian Mack, and Lazar Stefanovic. They also hit the portal big time, six portal additions for Mick Cronin so far. Of course, one of those, familiar face, Sky Clark. Admittedly, I don't know a ton about Dominic Harris from, I don't even know where he's from. That might have been JUCO. Eric Daly.
LMU for Harris.
LMU.
Loyola Marymount.
Eric Daly, Oklahoma State. You've got Kobe Johnson from USC. So they're going to have a lot of new faces. And Trent Perry as well out of high school was a top 40 prospect, a guard that will add to what's already thought to be a they had a good high school class last year. I know it was fairly internationally based, but I don't know. I don't know where second place comes from.
I wish I knew more about him,
but yeah, I'm with you on that.
I don't know where second place comes from with this group, given how bad they were last season. It's a portal class with a lot of quantity. The quality is in some question with some of these guys, I think. I mean, we all know Sky Clark. We had put up numbers with Louisville last year, but is he your a point guard for a second place team in the Big Ten? I don't think so.
I don't think he is.
Kobe Johnson is kind of a versatile piece, but came from a disaster of a USC team last year. You lose Bona, who is maybe the most valuable player, while he maybe wasn't the leading scorer. That's a really, really versatile, dominant defender who is a good rebounder, and he's off to the NBA. I don't know where second place comes from. Maybe that just speaks to the conference more than UCLA.
I think it probably does. And on that note, let's go next. Michigan State, which alarm bells go off in my head on Michigan State being third. They lose Tyson Walker, A.J. Hogarth, who had a bad year, but Jaden Akins, Jeremy Fears Jr., Xavier Booker.
I'm interested to see Jeremy Fears take over as the lead guard on that team. He's a really good prospect out of high school, but coming off such an unfortunate situation where he got shot last year and had to miss the final, 3 months of the season. So you never know how a guy is going to bounce back from something like that. Hopefully he's fully healthy, but didn't really get a chance to play a whole lot his freshman season and get that experience. Now you're throwing him in and saying, well, we're losing our top two guards on this team. You're the guy. You get the keys now. I question if that's going to be super smooth, at least this year. I'm sure he can be a good player later in his career, but this year I think there'll be some ups and downs there. And then Jaden Akins, your featured offensive guy.
He struggled last
year. Good player.
Year, right?
Good player at times. He had a good game. I want to say that first round game against, who was it? They played Mississippi State in the 8-9 game in one of the regions last year in the tournament. I think he was great in that one. But up and down, I don't think he's a number one option for a third place Big Ten team. And who knows if Xavier Booker's really that guy.
I can't believe he
was in the doghouse last year and probably is a four. Can't, just a little undersized to play the five, and then that leaves Carson Cooper and Jackson Cole are at center, and they just added some dude from somewhere who couldn't crack the Utah State rotation for 3 years.
Oh, my goodness.
A couple days ago. So count me in on the I don't see it with Michigan State again.
As long as it's like a nobody from the portal, then it's like it never happened. So Izzo's still the anti.
I got it. This guy's name is hard to pronounce, too.
He's so anti portal, he's only going out and getting bad players from the portal.
Fiddler's a good player, but
But for that, your only be your ad, biggest ad in the portal,
really,
is crazy.
I guess maybe he'd be between him and Akins, who scores more next year? Fiddler, Akins.
I think they would hope it's Akins.
Yeah, but will it be?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
I'd be interested to see if Cohen Carr has more to his game than just as an athlete. He's a good player, probably good defender slasher, but.
Simon Zapala. I don't know. At least I think it's Simon. It's S-Z-Y-M-O-N.
S-Z-Y?
Yep.
Wow.
Played at Longwood last year, averaged 10-6. Before that, it's been 3 years at Utah State. His career high in points per game, 1.3.
Okay.
So it's basically Mati Sissoko. They just got Sissoko from the portal, basically, in terms of impact.
Gross. Yeah, I'm not loving what I'm seeing from the Big Ten so far.
Just say there is a team you haven't mentioned that I didn't like last year that I think I probably like more than any of these teams.
I am in the same boat 100%. I'm probably going to be picking this team to win the Big Ten this year, as much as some will hate it. Well, everyone will hate it, but Indiana. Indiana last year, Kyle was on the money with doubting them, their roster construction. They, of course, went out and were big spenders in the portal with Omar Vallo reportedly getting $1.2 million. Got Miles Rice from Washington State. Put up good numbers as a freshman. Was he the freshman of the year in the Pac-12? He He was an all freshman selection, 15 a game.
Might have been.
4 assists. He was really, really good. And we'll see. I mean, in terms of on ball creation and scoring, that's going to give them a lot more there. Trey Galloway's back. Mackenzie Mbako's back. Yeah. And then Malik Renew. Malik Renew's a really good player with Balo in that front court. We'll see how that works out. They get Goody. They get Cannon Carlisle, a guard via the portal. Bryson Tucker's coming in as a talented freshman. They have talent for sure. Does the pieces fit well enough to have more success this year? I'll serve that up to you before I weigh in.
I think there's still the potential for the front court to be a little rocky at times if you're going to play that pairing of Renew and Balo extended minutes together. However, I think this is going to be a better team by far than last year's Indiana team because you have better guards this year. I think getting a guy like Miles Rice, Indiana had no guard play whatsoever last year. So when you have a front court that is a clunky fit and it kind of clogs the paint and limits your spacing offensively, when you have Xavier Johnson getting ejected, missing games due to injury, and then being terrible when he did play, and you're asking Gabe Cupps to come in as a freshman and do nothing,
yep.
That's what really hurt him last year. To get a guy like Rice, who I think is going to change that team, and to get Galloway back, and to get a guy like Carlisle, to get a guy like Goody, to add more shooting on the perimeter around those bigs this year. And I think Mbako is kind of the guy that people haven't really talked about. I think he could be an all-conference player this year based on what he did. I mean, for an Indiana team that shot it so poorly last year in Big Ten play, Mbako actually did make shots. And I think this year and year two, he's one of those guys that probably could have gone to the NBA this year if he wanted to, but he's going to be one of those NBA prospects still sticking around college and probably looks pretty good in a lot of matchups. So I hate to say it because I did – it was my personal agenda to be anti-Indiana all of last season, and I still share some of the same concerns I did last year, but just listing off the teams that we have so far, I think far and away Indiana's better than all of them on paper. On paper.
Yeah.
We'll see if it plays out on the floor, but talent-wise, this is the most talented roster in the Big Ten. Cue Lante puking.
No, that's a good call on that. I do think they are the most talented roster. I do think they've given themselves options, even if, let's say, we see similar signs of Balo and Renew just not coexisting well enough. Khalil Ware and Renew had both very, very good years, so it's not like it didn't work at all. It was more about the guard play and the lack of shooting, but it was a problem with some of the clogged up front court, but even if they want to play Renew more at the five or in segments at the five, they've given themselves the ability to do that because they can throw Goody in there to play a decent chunk of minutes. They can throw Bryson Tucker in there, who's a top 30 freshman, 6'6 wing that can play a decent chunk of minutes. And, yeah, as I've brought up a number of times, Mbako actually in Big Ten play was like a – he was a plus shooter. He was a 36-37% three-point shooter. And after a slow start in the non-conference, got going as a shot maker. And if Trey Galloway finds a way to shoot it like he did 2 years ago versus last year, then Indiana's cooking with a lot more. So it does say more about the rest of the league, in my opinion, that I'm kind of firmly stamping Indiana right now as the favorite, but I do think they are.
I mean, you just do the side-by-side Indiana-Purdue. Point guard Rice and Braden Smith. I think you give the edge to Smith, but it's not like the most lopsided ever.
Right, right. I really like Braden Smith, but yeah, I agree with you.
Shooting guard Fletcher Lawyer versus Galloway.
Galloway, yeah.
I'd call it a draw, honestly. Lawyer's slightly better at whatever.
Yeah.
Small forward, you got Mbako versus catching starting.
Maybe.
What's Purdue's lineup? It's Smith, Lawyer.
Potentially.
Heidi.
Yeah, maybe. Heidi, are they going to play big with first and then Trey Kaufman?
Oh, that'd
Ren?
Be awful.
No, they
probably just the probably three through five that. Of Mbako, Renew, and Balo versus Kaufman, Ren, a freshman, Cam Heidi, Caleb. It's like it's not even a competition between those two.
You're right.
I think on paper, again, we'll see. There's something to be said for continuity and those guys on Purdue haven't gone to a national title together for the most part, but talent-wise, it's not close to me. So yeah. I can't believe that those two teams are thought of as differently as they are.
Shocking, I know. I know we talked about going through this, and we're running out of time. We've been through four teams of the 18. It's again, a project.
Just like 4 minutes wasn't going to do the Brunson segment justice, 20 minutes wasn't going to do going through 18 Big Ten teams justice.
So. Which I'm glad we had the conversation we did. We'll just have to pick it back up. Just for a little teaser, though, let me do the rest of the Bart Torvik projections.
Let's do it.
People are out there wondering. So, again, Purdue number one, UCLA number two, Michigan State number three, Indiana four. After that, it goes USC, Michigan, Northwestern, Rutgers, Ohio State, Wisconsin, Nebraska, Maryland, Oregon, Iowa, Washington, Illinois.
Illinois 17th place?
Then you have
16th?
16th. And you have Minnesota and Penn State after that. Send your hate mail.
Stick those standings on the bulletin board inside the oven practice facility for everybody to see as they walk in each day. How about that?
I like that idea. Yes, Illinois still needs to add another piece. Could be a big one. We'll see ultimately who they get. But 16th seems crazy. We'll have to dig deeper in on that to really tell you why or analyze who they're better than. But, yeah, there you have it. Thanks to everybody listening in. Congrats again to Coleman Hawkins on a great day. Cheers to you. We'll be back tomorrow. This is The Draft.